There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
For the past half hour, I'm Ben Wilson. Wes Reynolds back with us on the desk here. Matt Santos, our producer behind the glass. Rob Moreno, Matt Hicks, technical directors there downstairs. We got Kev in the house as well on audio. And it was a really interesting discussion there on college football, specifically, Wes, with Vinny here in hour number one. As a result, kind of want to get your thoughts on some of these win totals here, because we're in a position now where we've been doing this a little bit on the show, talking. We talked SEC the other day. We've talked Pac-12. We've talked some Big 12. How about the Big 10, though? And that's, I know you're, as an Indiana guy, that's a conference you've paid very, very close attention to here over the years. Firstly, with Ohio State, is it reasonable to assume that they are as a $2.5 in your favorite to win the conference? Is that too high in your opinion, or is that about right given the talent? Just in general for Ohio State.
I think it's about right. And by the way, they did have media day this week for the
That's
Big
right.
Ten. Ohio State got all 36 first place votes to win the Big Ten East, and I think rightfully so. Look, you know, you looked at the win total, and we had to, even if we didn't bet it, we had to give an opinion for every team that we wrote for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, which, by the way, came out this morning, so go ahead and cop that at VSiN.com. And Ohio State, I did the Big Ten East, Matt did the Big Ten West, and I looked at Ohio State, it was like, at DraftKings, I think it was like 10.5 minus 240, and it's like, well, I'm never going to lay 240 necessarily on a win total because you never know a quarterback gets hurt. That's too much of a risk. I'd rather bet them to win the conference at a little bit less money than necessarily bet that win total. But I was looking at that schedule. I was like, do I really see two losses on that schedule? And I do not. They are going to be double-digit favorites in every single game, probably even including on the road. Depending on how the season starts out, they go on the road to Michigan State and Penn State. So those are their two maybe potential roadblocks or slip-ups. But this Ohio State team, you know, offensively, they're going to be dynamic. When you lose two of the top 11 draft picks overall in the first round of the NFL draft and your position group at wide receiver is still just as good, maybe even better, that just shows you how well they're recruiting there in Columbus. Jackson Smith and Jigba, who had, I think, like 350 yards in that Rose Bowl game against a very good Utah defense. He's arguably the best receiver, probably going to end up the best receiver in the history of the Ohio State football program, and they've had a lot of good ones
for
many years. You know, when you talk about the Galloways and the Chris Carters and David Boston, and I'm even forgetting a few, but Smith and Jigba is absolutely that good. So, yeah, they're the overwhelming favorite in the East. And, you know, when I looked at the East in kind of a macro level, and there you see Ohio State, and I'm even seeing it now at 11 minus $1.20. So those 10.5 have gotten support on the over, and rightfully so. Look, the first five games are at home, and then they go to Sparty at Michigan State. And, you know, Mel Tucker did a really good job last year. I think relied a little bit on the transfer portal. I worry maybe that they're relying too much on that portal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Michigan State, I think, was a nice surprise and has really built something. And Mel Tucker obviously got that 10-year extension up there. They tend to like it in East Lansing when you beat up on Jim Harbaugh in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And he is 2-0 against the Michigan Wolverines. And Michigan's going to be one of those interesting teams, too, because – I anticipate at least a slight step back. I don't think they're going to fall off a cliff, but they've got new coordinators on both sides of the ball. They ran the ball very well last year. They were one of the best running teams in all of college football. I still think that that's going to happen, even with Hassan Haskins gone. You still have Blake Corum. You have a five-star back, Donovan Edwards. The offensive line, they did lose two starters, but they get their anchor back, Oluwatimi, the Remington finalist last year. Quarterback, they're probably going to go dual quarterbacks with Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy. McNamara got most of the reps last year, but new OCs, Matt Weiss, Sharon Moore, because Josh Gattis, who won the Broyles Award as the top assistant in college football last year, he is now down at the U with Mario yep. Cristobal as their offensive coordinator, and Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator, is now with Jim's brother John at the Baltimore Ravens. So Jesse Minter comes in. He was the defensive coordinator at Vanderbilt last year. Where I think you anticipate a little bit of the drop off with Michigan is just how do you replace 25 of your 34 sacks? Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo are gone. So look, you've got to have guys that'll step up into that. And I think that that's going to be a little bit tough to replace, but I do like what Michigan did last year in terms of they got back to their old identity. They went back in time and went back to like the Shin Beckler era. If you watch that Ohio State game, they just out-toughed Ohio State.
Yep.
They were way more physical. They were number one in rushing in the Big Ten. The offensive line allowed the fewest sacks in the conference, fewest tackles per loss per game allowed. So you want to see if Michigan's going to be a little bit more explosive throwing the ball this year, because they do get Ronnie Bell. Remember, he tore his ACL there in that first game.
Right,
so
week one, yeah.
The schedule is obviously very easy. I mean, this non-conference schedule is very Colorado State, Hawaii, Connecticut.
All at
three
home.
Wins. Maryland, right. Who, you know, Talia Tagovailoa does come back. They'll be good offensively. I don't know how they'll be defensively, but Michigan should be 4-0 going into Iowa City at least. My lean was 9.5 under at +105 because you still got to go to Ohio State. You still got to go to Iowa. And then is there a possibility maybe a Penn State or a Michigan State gets you in Ann Arbor?
That is the second highest win total on the board, at least for the Big Ten. I want to get your take, Wes, because for most of these, we focused on the teams at the top. I want to go to the bottom as well. Just one really quick update. First off, I don't know if you saw this. The pitcher there in Miami gets hit in his head with a line drive.
Oof.
Daniel Castano, they have to take him out of the game in the first inning after he'd already given up a run in the first inning, Tommy Pham double, so it's 1-0 Reds, and they have a pretty significant injury delay there right now. Looked like he was okay. He got up under his own power, walked to the dugout, but actually a line drive out. It hit off his head, ricocheted right to the third baseman, Joey Wendell, who actually made the catch on the fly. But anyway, for those of you who were wondering, that is now, I don't know, could that be an in-play situation? Maybe Reds -260 live here. Now 10.5 live total juiced under. Just wanted to point that out really quick. 1-0 bottom of the first there with the rarely seen pitcher exiting in the first inning because he takes a line drive off the head. As far as the bottom of this conference, Wes, I remember 2 years ago, the Indiana alumnus, Wes Reynolds.
Yeah, bottom of the conference. Well, let's mention Indiana because that's where they usually are.
Wes, 2 years ago, though, you got yourself a trip to Jacksonville out of that. I remember how happy you were. It was a great season for Tom Allen. And then last year, it kind of fell off a cliff.
Yeah,
you go winless in the Big Ten.
They had the year during COVID where they eventually got into the top 10 for the first time in God knows how long and made the, I believe, the Outback Bowl, did get beat by Ole Miss. But, yeah, it was such a disappointment last year. They went 2-10, and it was injuries. It was a lot of coach turnover there. There's 5 new assistants, I believe, on the staff, including an offensive and defensive coordinator. Charlton Warren now goes to be on Mac Brown's staff as their defensive coordinator, and also a new offensive coordinator, Walt Bell, comes in. Nick Sheridan was replaced. But you look at Indiana last year, last in total offense, fewer than 300 yards and 18 points a game. They had 4 touchdown passes in 9 conference games.
Mm.
You're not going to win a lot of games in the Big Ten conference with that. So Michael Penix now at Washington to perhaps reunite with former IU offensive coordinator Kalen DeBoer. So it is Connor Basilak, who you're very familiar with
as
a Mizzou guy. I have some good optimism about Basilak, and I do think that he is going to win the job over Jack Tuttle. I think that's who you have to go with. Sean Shivers, I think, could be a really good running back out of the portal for Indiana. transfer from Auburn, Josh Henderson, also in from North Carolina. The running game, though, 3.2 yards a carry. Nick Sheridan was kind of the fall guy on the offense, but it's like we can't run the ball because this offensive line's one of the worst they had in Bloomington in about two decades. So they didn't have any holes, so hopefully that's better. Cam Camper, a good JUCO transfer, and DJ Matthews, a former Florida State transfer, missed last year with an ACL, are back. They're going to have to step up, though, offensively. I think I don't mind the talent that they have at the skill position. What I do mind is the offensive line, and that very much worries me. The defense, I think that they were disappointing last year simply because they were on the field all the time.
Yeah.
So you look this year, they got to replace Micah McFadden, who is the top tackler, really the coach on the field. He was drafted fifth round by the New York Giants, but the secondary, I think, is going to be good. Got to get more takeaways, though. They only had 5 picks last season when they had 17. And that's the thing you'll notice about college football, Ben. It always kind of reverts a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Where if you get a lot of turnovers, a lot of takeaways one year, you tend to come back to earth the next year. So looking at Indiana, I think 4 is about right. I don't know what expectations, because I had higher expectations last year and they go 2-10.
2 wins last year, 4.5 on the win total.
I think that they're
going
to be better, but look, they get the opener week 1 against Illinois, and Illinois kind of right where Indiana is. If you look at the win total, 4.5. Illinois does have that advantage, though, of playing in that week 0 or whatever that's called, August 27th, where they play that first game. So, you know, if Indiana can start out with a win at home, 2 of the non-conference games should be win at Cincinnati. I still think is going to be dicey, even though they're not near as talented as last year. But the schedule is always a brute in the East when you got to play Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State on the docket every year. I'd surely like these divisions to go away in the Big Ten. But this is going to be a better team, but I couldn't take them over 4.5 on that win total.
-140 the juice to the under on Indiana. The heaviest juice actually is Illinois, -180 to the under there. Any other teams that catch your eye win total perspective-wise?
Yeah,
in that conference?
When I was looking a little bit in the East, Maryland might have the potential at over 6, even money, because they're going to score a ton of points. Their receiving core, not quite Ohio State quality, but pretty darn good, especially with Demas coming back from that knee injury. So Locksley is always a good recruiter, not necessarily the best in-game manager or in-game coach, but he recruits at a pretty high level. Buffalo at home, tricky trip down to Charlotte, and a likely high-scoring game with SMU. But they get 5 of the non-conference games at home. The road trips are Michigan, Wisconsin, and Penn State. 6-6 is the most likely result, but I would probably lean, as they're trying to make consecutive bowl trips for the first time since 2014. I think Maryland, of the kind of bottom teams in the Big Ten East, and I would include Indiana, Rutgers, and Maryland outside that Big Four in the East, Maryland, I think, has the best potential to maybe make a little bit of a step up.
6 with the over there, right at even money. That would be the thought there. And again, as you pointed out, Wes, the College Football Betting Guide, it's out now. So go ahead, VSiN.com/subscribe. Check that out. We have previews on all 131 FBS teams, a lot of win total recommendations there, some thoughts on the college football playoff as well. Always a really, really well put together betting guide. So certainly want to encourage everybody to check that out. In the meantime, we're going to return, have some news and notes of the day around NFL training camps. A couple of interesting signings around the league, both in the AFC, one in Kansas City, one in Tennessee. Want to get Wes's thoughts on that. We'll also talk with some lower win total teams in the NFL, which teams might be undervalued. We'll get all those takes on the other side here on the Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, I'm Ben Wilson from our South Point Sportsbook Studios, the Lombardi Line. Hour number two, Wes, and as we have now, we're in that nice little period where we get some news and notes every single day, right around this time, coming out of training camps here, where we get some of the signings, some of the guys who are banged up. For those who missed it, to start the day, Ryan Jensen for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their center, carted off the field. The Todd Bowles head coach telling reporters that the severity of the knee injury is unknown, but that's a little bit alarming there in Tampa Bay. As for some signings, though, this one's interesting. Kansas City Chiefs, they signed Carlos Dunlap, 1 year, $8 million deal. Ian Rappaport reporting that this morning from NFL Network. So Dunlap, who was certainly on the back nine of his career, was last in Seattle. At least for Kansas City, I guess you can never stockpile enough guys on that defensive line, and they're trying to do that here with Dunlap.
Yeah, because Kansas City would be one of those teams that I would think maybe would be in the market or kind of looking at the waiver wire for some teams that might be rebuilding. I'm looking at the Chicago Bears, who I don't think are going to be winning very many games, and it's like, okay, what assets do you have to trade to maybe stockpile picks and build the right way that I think Ryan Poles wants to do is through the draft and not necessarily overpay for free agents. So I'm looking potentially maybe at a Robert Quinn. Could he be, you know, would a Kansas City maybe interested in Robert Quinn? So, yeah, they're still trying to stockpile pass rushers. They've got Clark. They've got Karlaftis, who has a lot of potential, the rookie out of Purdue. But you can never have too many pass rushers in the NFL in general, and especially in the AFC West with four very dynamic offenses.
No doubt, especially when that has been, too, a perceived weakness of Kansas City now in the Patrick Mahomes era. So Dunlap goes to KC. I don't know how much this will really move the needle, but Terry Godwin, he's with Tennessee now, Wes. He is signed today. They released Juwan Green, the Titans did. So in a very interesting offseason for the Titans, where I don't know that I've heard really anybody show much interest in backing Tennessee. You look at a lot of the numbers, and it certainly seems to indicate
which
some regression coming back.
Which worries me as a Colts guy and somebody that does like the Colts and did bet them to win this division. But, you know, just looking at Tennessee, is Ryan Tannehill kind of regressing back to the Miami Ryan Tannehill? You do have Derrick Henry coming back. I think it's a big ask, even though he was off to a sterling start last season where it looked like, okay, he's on 2,000-yard pace again. But you know, running back shelf lives are short in this league, and coming back from injuries is, I think, toughest at that position than any position in the NFL. So just looking at Tennessee, I've been kind of disappointed. I think they miss Arthur Smith, really, who's now the head coach in Atlanta, second year of Todd Downing. I think the offense definitely declined. It certainly didn't help that Derrick Henry went out of the lineup in that Colts game in Indianapolis first half of the season. But new receivers there, Robert Woods, A.J. Brown now out. He is now in Philadelphia, so they bring in Robert Woods. They still have Nick Westbrook in the receiving core. So we're going to see with Tennessee. I think there's a lot of unknowns. That's one of those teams, I think, that have been very tough to get a read on going into the season.
And as you said, it always worries me when you look at the general senses of regression and you just kind of blandly assign a specific position for a team. And when you look at it and you say, okay, well, every year we know that several playoff teams fall off and don't and aren't able to repeat that success the following year. And Tennessee easily fits the bill simply because of the DVOA numbers and how they ended up more mid-tier last season. But at the same time, with Mike Vrabel wins coach of the year a season ago, just, I mean, based on the infrastructure alone and based on the fact that you still have a weapon in Derrick Henry, I don't know if I'm in the position to just say, well, yep, they were a playoff team. They pretty clearly outperformed their baseline last year.
Right.
I don't know if I'm willing for any of these teams to just say, okay, well, yeah, simply because of that, I'm now going to fade them automatically this year.
And I think just looking in that AFC South at a macro level, the Colts are seen as kind of that mission team because of how disappointing they finished the season last year. When you're a 2-touchdown favorite, I know it's on the road in a divisional game, but against a Jacksonville that's obviously playing out the string, and the Colts just absolutely laid an egg, and that's why they moved on from Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan now there, so I've been getting the training camp reports back from Indianapolis. One thing about Matt Ryan that everybody's pointing to is how quick he gets the ball out. He does not hold the ball. He knows he's on the back nine of his career, so he's not going to take a lot of hits. Kind of similar to Phillip Rivers a couple years ago, as the Colts revolving door at quarterback seemingly continues on a year-to-year basis. But it's all going to be about, you know, can they get a number one receiver step up? They can obviously run the ball as well as anybody in the league with Jonathan Taylor. But can you get Pittman to maybe be that number one receiver? And also, can the defense improve? I think they're still pretty solid on the defensive line. But Gus Bradley coming in, how much more aggressive is he going to be? Is he going to be able to turn Darius, who actually goes by Shaquille, middle name.
Leonard, yes.
I just call him the Maniac. That's his nickname there in Indianapolis. So are they going to turn Darius Leonard? I know he's on the pup list, but that's just a brief respite. So are they going to turn him loose on some blitzes? And then the secondary, that's got to improve. I expect the pass rush is going to improve with Kwity Paye now after his rookie year. And then they add Yannick Ngakoue, who I still think has a little bit in the tank. And, of course, you got one of the better defensive tackles in the middle in DeForest Buckner.
And you see now on the odds, minus 115 for the Colts to win that division at BetMGM. Titans have drifted all the way to plus 150. A lot of action coming in on Indianapolis this year. And in the same vein, Wes, as we talk about, always there are teams in the NFL we expect to regress who are playoff teams from one year to the next and fall off. In that same kind of conversation point, there are always the teams that are not expected to do much who then outperform those expectations pretty significantly. We've got the whole batch of the teams with win totals sub 6.5, and we're trying to figure out, all right, which teams might actually be undervalued this year. So you take a look at where at some of these teams, Falcons are 4.5, Panthers, Bears, Lions, all 6.5, Texans, 4.5 as well. And then further down the list, you also have the Jags, Giants, 6.5, Jets, Seahawks, each at 5.5 right now. Of those groups of teams here, Wes, what is one that you could see not only getting past the win total, but maybe even threatening for an outside wild card spot, getting towards a 500, putting up 8, maybe even 9 wins this year? Is there a team in that group that at least has the potential on paper to outperform those expectations?
The New York Football Giants at 6.5. And by the way, I was looking at strength of schedule. Easiest schedule per Warren Sharp in terms of just the strength of the schedule, I believe they have the easiest schedule. A lot of the NFC East teams, by the way, I think all four of them in the top 10 for
Eagles easiest second
schedule.
Easiest.
Eagles
yeah.
second easiest, Commanders at 6, and then Dallas at 10. Everybody kind of considers this a two-team division. Philadelphia has been the obvious buzz team with what they did in the draft, and they probably are the most talented team in the NFC East, but can Jalen Hurts take that step this year? I like what the Giants have done, at least from the coaching upgrades. They have coaching upgrades, I think, clearly across the board. Brian Daboll, I know a first-time head coach, but obviously well thought of as an offensive coordinator, put up great numbers in Buffalo. Mike Kafka comes in to be the offensive coordinator, and he spent some time on Andy Reid's staff there in Kansas City. So now he is going to be the play caller. So he's been with Reid and company in a pretty darn good offense the last few years. Wink Martindale comes in as the defensive coordinator. I know Baltimore, disappointing the last couple years on defense, and John Harbaugh and Wink Martindale parted ways. But keep in mind, that Baltimore secondary was absolutely – they were getting guys off the street to play there. That's why he went for two. That was kind of a point of consternation with a lot of bettors last year. That's why John Harbaugh went for two in Pittsburgh, because it's like, I don't have anybody for his secondary even to stop Ben Roethlisberger, who seemingly couldn't throw more than 10 yards down the field. But – I think the Giants are going to be better this year. I really like the talent that they have now. They got to keep Saquon Barkley healthy, which they have not been able to do over the last couple of years. But you look at the receiving core, just a lot more talent there. Kenny Galladay back, Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, Kadarius Toney. They drafted the kid out of Kentucky in the second round, Rondale Robinson. So they have more weapons, I think, for Daniel Jones. And the key for Daniel Jones, just don't turn the ball over.
Right. Well, yeah. And I think, too, you know.
And the offensive line could help keeping him upright, but they have added to that group. Andrew Thomas, they draft Evan Neal out of Alabama, rookie there in the first round. So would expect that to be better. I just think if you look at the schedule, there's a lot of at least potential wins that could go their way that didn't last year, 4-13. So they start out at Tennessee, but you get three straight games at home, Carolina, Dallas, Chicago. You get Green Bay in London. You get Baltimore at home. You probably might be a small favorite on the road against Jacksonville and Seattle, or at least a very small underdog. So those are winnable games. You get a bye week, and then you get Houston and Detroit at home. There is a lot of potential for the Giants. The schedule is a little bit more back-ended with more division games. But I think New York could actually get off to a really good start this season.
Four wins from a season to go. It leads me to think, how do you evaluate? You have 10 first-year head coaches, some with previous head coaching experience. Brian Daboll is not one of those guys. In your general betting experience, how lightly have you treaded with some of these first-year guys? Or do you usually throw that stuff out with your handicap?
It depends on the situation in terms of a talent. Like, you have so many guys. Some are, like, obvious rebuilds. Like, the Giants, I would look at them as more of a retool. A little bit.
Not full-blown rebuild.
Like a full-blown rebuild, I think, is in Chicago. I think that is absolutely going to happen with Matt Eberflus, first-year coach, first-year GM. So that in Houston, I think, is still more in a rebuild mode, whereas I think a team like the Giants and maybe even the Carolina Panthers, a little bit more like retooling, that are not as far away as the record indicates.
And still to come for us on the Lombardi Line, we'll break down the entire MLB rest of the card tonight. Also want to get some more thoughts on some of these teams, sub 6.5 win totals. We'll talk Texans next. Some interesting angles there. I want to get Wes's thoughts on with quarterback Davis Mills. We'll do that when we return here on the Lombardi Line. The VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out now. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of all 131 teams, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations, plus our best season win total bets, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff predictions. The only way to get access to this year's VSiN Football Betting Guide is to become a VSiN All Access subscriber. So sign up for VSiN All Access today and get everything we offer for the entire football season, including our upcoming Pro Football Betting Guide. Subscribe now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Wes Reynolds playing a big role in both of those guys. Correct there, Wes? You've got a hand in both of them?
I believe so. We will wait to see how the NFL betting guide is going to lay down.
Wes,
I'm guessing more writing is in order.
Yes. Well, he's just everywhere. Nightcap last night. You're on Follow the Money this morning, helping with the announcement there. And here we are on the Lombardi Line now. And you got the nightcap tonight.
Yes.
What a guy.
I am very much looking forward to that nap at about 12:30 this afternoon.
Almost there. We want to get back to the NFL discussion in just a second. First, a quick update, though, of the games in progress. Right now, I had mentioned that scary situation in Cincinnati. It was really good to at least see the starting pitcher for the Marlins in Donovan Castano at least be helped off the field and under his own power. He leaves after taking a line drive to his head. So the Marlins have to go to the bullpen in the first inning. However, it's been, you talked about, Wes, these getaway day unders. It's been a pretty good pitching showing outside of that first inning. For the most part, we're in the top of the third now. Graham Ashcraft looking pretty good here. 1-0 lead there for Cincinnati. And he's on it right now.
Yeah, that slider has been very good for Ashcraft the last couple starts, and it certainly has started off very well today. Graham Ashcraft already 3 strikeouts here as we're in the top of the third.
Looking pretty good there. Reds, I'm seeing a $2.30 live favorite at BetMGM, plus 165 on the Marlins. 7.5, your total juiced under at minus 130. And the other game, Wes, you also indicated a preference for the under in the Baltimore game. Rays at Orioles. We're now down to a live total of 5.5. A little juice over minus 120. Minus 135 on the O's live. Even money on the Rays. And that's because it is a nothing-nothing game. Bottom of the third. Although my screen did just light up. I believe we're about to see something happen with Anthony Santander at the plate.
He's going to take Ryan Yarbrough yard here for a two-run shot. Yarbrough, actually, I was about to say, hey, he's been pitching well. 5 strikeouts here in just 2 2/3. He does not take him deep necessarily, but does play to run here.
Yep, that'll be an RBI double. So one zip to the O's, bottom of the third, as they strike first. And that's why I saw some of the betting markets. They were suspended at the moment. We'll see when it looks like BetMGM, they've reposted that. O's now minus 230 live, plus 165 on the Rays. 6.5 now is your rejuice total over minus 130. Now, as far as the Rocket Mortgage Classic as well, day number one, Wes, we talked earlier. Tony Finau gets into the clubhouse at 8-under, last week's champion at the 3M Open. If you were in the first round leader markets, though, you're in a position where we might have a dead heat here, because the Canadian Taylor Pendrith, who's on your card, Wes, comes out, was among the leaders in strokes gained putting today, and he gets into the clubhouse joining Finau, 8 under 64
to tie
for
the lead.
Yeah,
a couple good starts for me with Pendriff at 8 under, and then Cameron Champ also in at 6 under. Webb Simpson, the Donald Ross specialist, almost 6 under. So if you thought you were going to get value on him for the Wyndham Championship, which is kind of like his home event, you really don't
probably
anyway, even if he's
not
out of form. So probably going to lose on that. So afternoon group's about to start, but 8 under with Finau and Pendriff, the mark to beat.
And the other guys at 6 under, Michael Thompson, Lee Hodges, Matt Wallace rounding out your top seven so far. Big group of guys at 5 under as well. And the pre-tournament favorite, Patrick Cantlay, he gets into the clubhouse at 2 under par, T35th right now on Cantlay. And then the second betting favorite, Will Zalatoris, he's even par, but just through three holes, just underway there, part of those afternoon groupings. Same deal with Cameron Young, who was, I believe, fourth on the odds board. One of the those were four of the guys sub 20-1 this week, even par through three holes. As we return to the NFL West, we were talking last segment, some of these teams win totals sub 6.5 that we're at least intrigued by. Well, how about a specific player that is at least intriguing to do the deep dive in the numbers? We did this exercise last night on Primetime Action where we were doing some of the quarterback props on the passing yardage total. And the one that for Jeff Parles and I, the one we kept coming back to, Davis Mills in Houston was right around, I think, 3,700.5 passing yards. But if you look, and we've got we have some of the stats from his final five games a season ago. To start, Wes, we certainly believe that he is going to be the guy all year for Houston, a team that really has zero incentive to win now. But if you actually look at it, he was on a over 4,000-yard pace in his 11 starts that he got in for last year. And he wasn't all that bad as the numbers would indicate. So what do you make of a guy like Mills coming into this year where you'd figure Houston's going to be down in a lot of games, he'll be throwing a lot, and he's at least going to give them a puncher's chance in some of these spots?
You know, there were some times he showed some flashes, and I think certainly earned the right to be the starting quarterback this year. Now we'll see if Jimmy Garoppolo might be making his way to Houston, because there is a history, by the way. Nick Caserio,
who is the general manager
in Houston, did draft Jimmy G out of Eastern Illinois when Nick Caserio was up in New England with the brain trust up there at the Patriots. So there is that possibility. But if they don't go that route, I think Davis Mills is going to be the starter. The backups right now in the depth chart, Kyle Allen, Jeff Driscoll, Kevin Hogan, I think no real threats. So you might as well use this season and see what you got with Davis Mills, because if Houston is bad as they're projected to be based on their win total and based on the schedule, you're going to have a pretty quarterback-rich draft next year. Possibility of C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami. You're going to have at least maybe even more than a handful of first-round quarterback grades next year. So there is the possibility Houston can rebuild with a new quarterback. So why not see what you have with Davis Mills? That's why I would not go necessarily the Jimmy Garoppolo route. It's like, is Jimmy Garoppolo going to make you a playoff team? He is absolutely not, even in what is a weak AFC South division. So, you know, looking at Davis Mills, the receiving core, and I know we were talking in the first hour about Green Bay's receiving core kind of being down. Well, one receiving core that is absolutely down are the Houston Texans. Of course, Brandon Cooks, you know, he's had some good years before, but I don't think he's a true number one. We know the announcement with John Mechie, the draft pick out of
Alabama. Diagnosis,
So they're not going to see him anytime soon. So you look at the starters, it's Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, and Philip Dorsett. That doesn't exactly send shivers down your spine as an opposing secondary, and plus with a very young quarterback in Davis Mills. You just look at this Houston team, Ben, and there's just not a lot of talent. This is absolutely a rebuild. They went with Lovie Smith, promoted him to head coach. He was the assistant head coach. David Culley let go after one season, but just a lot of talent, and talent is gone from this team. Long gone are the days of J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, Whitney Mercilus and all those guys. So they are absolutely rebuilding. They drafted Stingley in the first round at corner, so at least that's a piece for the defense. But, yeah, I think they're expected to be bad, and they probably are going to be bad this year. But you guys, when you were talking about this last night, you tend to like the over on the yards, you were saying.
It's more of like if you have enough conviction that he is going to be that starter, and probably if he's the starter week one, Wes, like if you kind of get past the whole potential timeline where Garoppolo could be traded, and you mentioned the connections there in Houston, but if you get to week one and you feel like it is going to be Davis Mills who is the starter, I don't really see, as you also mentioned the rest of the depth chart there behind him, I don't really see any scenario, given the tough schedule this year for Houston by not finishing last in their division. It's the sixth hardest schedule this year by Vegas win totals for Houston this year. When you have a guy in Mills, there's really no reason not to throw him out there every single game, and you're going to be in come from behind mode quite a bit. Let's also keep in mind, it's not like the cupboard was necessarily fully stocked on the receiving core last year for Davis Mills. It was still Brandon Cooks and a bunch of journeyman type guys. A season ago, I would imagine that it's going to be one of those guys who could put up some numbers on a very, very bad team, and that it does not come close to altering the win total or any sort of success for Houston. But you might get a guy who is somewhat unheralded as far as the stats, or we look at him and just say, oh, god-awful rookie last year, who, again, when you dive into the numbers, was actually decent, 16 touchdowns to 10 picks a season ago. And I would, that was the one I of all the AFC quarterbacks jumped out to me the most, Wes, the over on his passing yards. That's if he's playing all 17. But I certainly believe if he's the starter week one, he's going to be out there all year for Houston.
Now, I agree with that assessment, but you do have a new offensive coordinator down there in Houston. It is Pep Hamilton. Last time he's been an offensive coordinator in the National Football League, I got a very good look at him at Indianapolis, 2013 to 2015. A lot of short passes, trying to find the tight ends. So, you know, they're kind of a manage the clock, move the chain. So I don't expect that this is going to be necessarily an up-tempo offense. Pep, by the way, he was the passing game coordinator last year. And then before that, I believe, was the DC Defenders head coach.
I remember that, yeah.
We were doing the XFL betcast and then went to be the quarterbacks coach for the Chargers. So Pep has been around a long time. But if you know where he was before he reunited with Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, that was Stanford, David Shaw. A lot of running the ball, a lot of short passes, a lot of intermediate routes. So I agree with the philosophy, but I want to see, you know, what Pep Hamilton is going to do with this offense that's pretty devoid of talent.
It is. Look, I get it. It's not like I'm running to the window to make this play. And it's like, it's,
no, but I don't necessarily think it's far-fetched. Right. I don't know if I'm going to follow on and over, but.
Yeah, well, and outside of all other Houston-based bets you'd be looking at, that's really the only one that's kind of palatable to me, because we've seen Lovie Smith back his way into winning a few games even with really no talent before.
You know, Lovie's a defensive guy, so he's going to have more say on that side of the football for sure.
No question. I mean, look, would I just be blindly betting the win total under despite every good point you laid out, Wes, the team devoid of talent? No, just because we've seen Lovie Smith win games with really no quarterback or offensive play before. Obviously, that takes an elite defense. We don't expect that in Houston. But 5 wins is not unrealistic for Houston coming into 2022. It's more the Mills passing props that definitely intrigues me the most. When we return, we wrap up the show. We'll go through the rest of the MLB card with Wes. That's right after this. You're on the Lombardi Line.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits, like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. See BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Two-run shot for Jesus Aguilar in Cincinnati. Marlins take a 2-1 lead there in the bottom of the third. We were talking about it earlier, Wes. Marlins likely going to be sellers, as they should at the deadline. Now 5.5 back of Cincinnati for the, or I should say, of St. Louis for the final wild card spot in the National League. As a Milwaukee Brewer fan myself, Jesus Aguilar, that 35 home run 2018. I would love to get Jesus back.
They could use another bat up there in Milwaukee,
could.
I think.
Bring him back.
Yeah, and look, I think Aguiar is a guy that could be on the move. They're obviously not going to want to move Jazz Chisholm. I think they want to have him as kind of a building block. But you look at a guy like Aguiar or maybe Wendell, perhaps. One of these bats, at least one of these bats, I think are going to move for the Miami Marlins. Obviously, teams want to get into that pitching staff, but I don't think they want any of those young pitchers. Trevor Rogers, his value is down, obviously. He is not the Trevor Rogers of 2021, but you know, you still have Alcantara, who I think is virtually untouchable. I think the Marlins will listen on everybody else, but I don't know if they really want to trade Pablo Lopez. And Sixto Sanchez, of course, has been out with injury this year. They like him, I think, long term. So that's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, get good on one side of the ball, get good at least pitching, and then we'll work on the hitting as we go, because the pitching is what usually carries us.
One of the more random bobbleheads I own is a Jesus Aguilar Milwaukee Brewers bobblehead from one of those long ago giveaways at formerly Miller Park, now American Family Field.
I know. That's amazing. I called it Miller Park the other day, and I was like, I forgot that they renamed it after another Wisconsin company.
Another Wisconsin company. Yes, they're in Milwaukee. Brewers are off today. There's only, if you look at the rest of the card, 8 games tonight. We have the 2 in progress right now. I mentioned that Marlins 2, Reds 1 score in the top of the fourth, and then the Orioles lead 1-0 over the Rays in the bottom of the fourth. Couple of getaway day games there. It's funny. I looked first at because Shohei Ohtani pitches tonight, Wes, and that's always where we now as bettors just gravitate toward these Ohtani lines. Hosting the Rangers tonight, and Spencer Howard -225 at BetMGM, which on the surface you say, okay, it's Ohtani pitching, yes. But you're essentially at this point for the Angels asking him to go out and win a baseball game all by himself when he's pitching. My over $2 seems to be insane for a team that has been absolutely dreadful in the month of July, a team batting average under 200, a staff ERA that was over 5 before they shut out the Royals in back-to-back games. The only thing that would, as much as I am inclined and would love to take a stab on Texas here, Spencer Howard has a 7.11 ERA in 5 starts this year. So it is hard to back a guy like that who's fielding independent pitching is even worse. 8.02 this year.
Yeah, this is a pass for me because, look, it is horrifying to lay that kind of price on the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And Ohtani, by the way, his last start, I believe it was a week ago tonight against the Braves. Great start. I think he had like 11 strikeouts through 6 innings and only had 71 pitches. So it's like, okay, he's good to go for the 7th. And then he got shelled for 6 runs in the 7th inning. So that's something that you want to worry about a little bit too. How deep can he go into games at this standpoint? So this is an absolute stay away for me.
Yeah, the only thing really at this point with Ohtani are the strikeout props. But we've seen a lot. I think his last start that you mentioned against Atlanta, it was 7.5 juiced like -180 over. Mm-hmm. So you when you get to that point, I don't know how you handle those props specifically, Wes, but when it gets to the point where you're paying that big of a premium, it's hard to find a value unless you just want action.
It's not worth it. It usually, you know, when I dabble in those type of strikeout props, I don't usually like to play more than 140 or 150 on VIG. I just think, you know, you're asking a lot. And like you said, I think you phrased it properly. Shohei Ohtani, you're kind of asking him to win by himself. And by the way, some news on the Angels that came out yesterday, Mike Trout dealing with this, back thing is not just a thing. Like it's a little bit more than that. So who knows when he is going to be back. And I know we've discussed the AL MVP and the Cy Young ad nauseum. It's seems like a 2-man race, Judge versus Ohtani for the MVP, but it's like, you got to put Ohtani out there. I know you don't want to burn him out. He's in arbitration next year, and then he's a free agent in 2024. So obviously you want to try to extend this guy and look out for his long-term future. But You also got to have people come to the ballpark, and it doesn't look like Mike Trout's going to be on the field anytime soon in Anaheim.
Yep. He said last night he is not closing the book on playing this year. He refuted some of the statements that were made by the head head athletic trainer there for the Angels, saying that this would be a potentially career-threatening injury. But at the same time, if the Angels continue to play like this and they're totally out of it, what incentive would you even have in bringing him back, say, in, I don't know, late August or September? Presumably once he is healthy. That is yet another saga in the just disastrous season it has been there for the LA Angels. Wes, as far as some of the other action today, you know, the one game that I was really interested in, Logan Gilbert's a guy I've backed a bunch this year for Seattle. He goes in to Houston today against Jose Urquidy. Mariners, who were swept by the Astros coming out of the All-Star break after winning 14 straight heading into it. They get swept at home by the Astros, but then right on cue, the Astros turn around and get swept by Oakland, three games set there by the Bay earlier this week. Seeing Urquidy and the Stros at BetMGM, $1.45 favorite. Most shops you can find a little better than that if you want to lay it with Houston in the market today. Plus 120 on Logan Gilbert and the Mariners, total of 8, juiced over minus 120. And both pitchers, West, though, do have some regression coming for them. Gilbert specifically, who is among the worst hard hit percentage guys in Major League Baseball, gives up a ton of hard contact, has probably been pretty fortunate to have a 2.77 ERA as a result so far.
Yeah, and I'll give the Mariners some credit. They showed resiliency. Obviously, the Astros kind of showed them who was boss. It's like, okay, we're the kings of this division. You're not coming to catch us. Three-game sweep, and then the Astros get swept in Oakland by the A's, and the Mariners come back and take three from the Rangers. So, you know, Gilbert, you mentioned 2.77 ERA, but if you look, he allows a lot of hard contact. The walk rate is up. So the metrics don't really indicate the record, and the record has been absolutely sterling, 10-4 and 20 starts. So, you know, I think when you look, he's more of like a 3.5 type of pitcher. So I do think you're right. Gilbert is going to have regression, but also Urquidy, who is a guy that has a very high fly ball rate and can get punished by home runs. Seattle's starting to show some pop in terms of that, with especially with the one Julio Rodriguez back in the lineup. Urquidy's strikeout rate has gone down. The hard contact rate is up. So if you're looking at these numbers, I would maybe be interested perhaps in like a first five over, or even maybe split it half and half, first five full game. I think the best I see right now, 4.5 under 120, so you can get 4.5 over even money in the first five. And then also, there are some eights starting to show, 8 juice to the over at minus 120, I believe, at BetMGM. But yeah, I think when you have two pitchers like this at this point in the season that have been getting a little lucky, still have a lot of hard contact, but haven't been penalized for it, eventually you get to that spot where they do get penalized for it, and I think it could be tonight.
Could, and Logan Gilbert as well, just a second-year full pro with the Mariners at the major league level. How about anything else that made your card there, Wes? 6 other games we can potentially discuss if there's anything that jumps out on the page to you.
Yeah, still going through the card a little bit, but I looked at the price here for the Blue Jays. By the way, the Blue Jays were a huge favorite last night against the very shorthanded St. Louis Cardinals, who didn't have Goldschmidt nor Arenado in the lineup because of the COVID-19 requirements up there north of the border in terms of the vaccine. But no problem. Cardinals, an easy win. We've seen the Blue Jays as big favorites sometimes.
That's a couple times now.
A couple weeks ago against the Royals, when the Royals basically had the Omaha Storm Chasers.
Blue Jays were laying
lineup.
$4.40, couldn't win.
And had Gausman on the mound, and he had at least an okay outing, okay enough, you would think, to beat that team, but they certainly did not. So you have Kikuchi at over $2. We were talking about that with Ohtani. Even though Ohtani has shown good form, it's like, can you lay $2 with the Angels? You look at Kikuchi right now, 5.12 ERA, but his hard hit rate, his barrel rate, just absolutely terrible, struggling with the command. So, you know, Detroit Tigers, not very good offensively, but they do hit lefties okay. 2.73 as a team, middle of the pack in WABA and WRC. So, you know, Tyler Alexander, probably, I'm guessing, 2 or 3 innings tonight, and then they're going to turn it over to the bullpen. So Detroit's bullpen has actually been one of the best things of their team, fourth best in ERA, 13th in xFIP. So I might take a stab. If I'm going to, I'm going to try to get $2 and maybe take a little stab with Detroit. I will not lay this with the Blue Jays.
No, no. A couple books now. I see a Circa here in the Nevada jurisdiction up to plus 202. Most shops, though, rest of the country, are sitting right now plus 190 in a lot of those East Coast shops. It's kind of the same theory when talking about Ohtani and laying it with the Angels, but it's a completely different case here where it's with Yusei Kikuchi, how awful he's been, and you laid out all the reasons why. How could you possibly lay 2.25. I mean, yeah, with a guy like that, you can't. It's impossible.
And look, we've seen these results in, you know, the last couple weeks. You get some of these big underdogs that you think, okay, they have no chance because everybody wants to weigh those run line and those run line parlays. Not the way to go. It just takes one big underdog to go ahead and screw that up for you, and it could be this one tonight.
Tigers just took 2 of 3 from San Diego. Big walk-off yesterday against Taylor Rogers. Wes, this has been a blast.
Good to be with you, Ben.
Get a nap in, all right?
You too, because you're going to be back on duty tonight.
Primetime action tonight for myself. Wes on the nightcap tonight, but we say so long for now on the Lombardi Line. It is Odds On. Mike Palma, Mal Shaw, coming up next here on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.